श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादं शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः सदाशिवसमारंभां शंकराचार्यमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वंदे गुरुपरंपरां। ओम सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। Yeah, so Arjuna has asked Krishna to place the chariot in the middle of the battlefield. So middle, so it means a vantage point from where he can see the other side. So he can see the Kauravas army. So he says, Atha vyavasthitan drishtva dhartarashtran kapidvajaha pravritte shastra sampate dhanurudyamya pandavaha. So he told kapidvajaha. So he saw all the Dhartarashtras present there. And then he told Hrishikesha, Lord Krishna, Hrishikesham tada vakyam idam aha mahipate. So then he said thus to Hrishikesha. Arjuna uvacha senayor ubhayor madhye ratham sthapaya mechyuta. So Arjuna said, please place the chariot in the middle of the battlefield. Yavadetan niriksheham yodhukamana vas avasthitan kairmaya asaha yodhavyam asmindrana samudhyame. So yavad etan nirikshe aham. So let me see all those people who have assembled here, Yodhu Kaman, who are desirous of fighting. Yodhu Kama is desire. Yodhu Kaman is those who are desirous of fighting the war. So who are itching to fight. So that is the meaning of Yodhukama. So just imagine a person itching to fight, so putting his life on the line. So that was the character of a Kshatriya. They never had any fear. So they were always ready to fight. So whole of Indian culture. So a Kshatriya means you should always be prepared to go to a war. In all these, in all our states, we have this, these stories of such people being so brave to just rush to the battlefield as and when it is necessary. So you should never show, in Tamil also we have a saying. So you should never show your back on a battlefield. So never run away from a battle. So that means you should be convinced about fighting the war. So a lot of reasons are also included. So in fighting a war, That is, you should be committed to the king. You should have that much trust and faith in the king, so that he will not go to a war unnecessarily. So a war should be fought only for necessity, and the people trust the king totally with that decision. So the trust on the king, the faith and the respect for, and the nationalistic pride of belonging to that region. So all that was included. So that's why these people are called Yodhukaman. They are itching to fight the war because they are convinced that they are fighting for the right cause. Yodhukaman avasthitam. And the king also is supposed to make it very clear so that they are fighting for the right reasons. Keep them motivated. So like our own prime minister. So defense minister. So they went to Jammu and Kashmir to meet the army. So who are on an almost eyeball to eyeball confrontation with the Chinese. So that you keep them motivated, and then give them the motivation that they are fighting for the right reason. So yodhu kaman avasthitam kairmaya saha yodhavyam asmin rana samudyame. So let me see those people who are itching to fight with me in this battlefield. Then he continues, Yotsyama anana veksheham ya etetra samagataha dhartarashtrasya durbuddhehe yuddhe priyachikirshavaha. So yotsyama anana. So those people who have come with the intention of fighting, avekshe aham. So I want to see those people. Yaha yete ye, not yaha, ye yete atra samagataha. Those who have assembled here. Samagataha. So they have gathered here, assembled here. Who are those people? Dhartharashtrasya durbuddhehe. So those misguided idiots of Dhartharashtra. That's what it means. So durbuddhe is misguided idiots. So those misguided idiots of Dhartharashtra. So who should not have called for this war in the first place. So because they should have given us what rightfully belongs to us. And those misguided fools. So yuddhe priya chikirshavaha. So those priya chikirshavaha is those who want to please. So wanting to please the son of Dhartharashtra. Yuddhe priya chikirshava. So here, Dhartharashtrasya durbuddhe. So it means primarily Duryodhana. So who wants to please that misguided fool. So not all of them. So who want to please that misguided son of Dhritarashtra, which is Duryodhana. All these people who have assembled here. Not all of them are not called misguided fools. So all those people who have assembled there to please the misguided son of Dhritarashtra. So Duryodhana. Because he is the primary reason for the battle. Please for various reasons. So Bhishma, Drona, etc. So they are all fighting the war for their own reasons. So they have their own justification for why they want to fight the war. Then Sanjaya says, Sanjaya uvacha evam ukto Hrishikeshaha gudakeshena bharata senayor ubhayor madhye sthapayitva rathottamam. So Sanjaya says, evam uktaha Hrishikeshaha. So being told in this manner, Hrishikesha, Lord Krishna. So Hrishikesha, we saw different meanings of Hrishikesha. So one meaning of Hrishikesha is one who is the master of our sense organs. So that is one meaning of Hrishikesha. Then another meaning of Hrishikesha is one who had hair which made people happy. So one who had very attractive hair. And then another name is one who makes everyone happy. So Anandadayakaha. So that one who makes everyone happy. Krishna always made everyone happy. So that's why also he is called Hrishikesha. Being told Hrishikesha by Gudakesha. So here Arjuna is called Gudakesha. So Gudakesha also has, that name has a story behind it. So one who has mastered sleep. So Gudakayaha Ishaha. So Gudaka is night. So one who has mastered sleep is called Gudakesha. So Arjuna has mastered sleep even when he was young. So one, he used to practice whatever archery he learned at night. So there is a famous story. So at night when it was pitch dark, so he used to practice archery. So and his motivation for that was Bhima. It seems what happened was, once when they were eating, the lights went out. Maybe the lamp went out. But all of them stopped eating. But Bhima kept on eating. He didn't want to stop. Because Bhima always liked food, liked to eat. So then by the time the light came back, so Bhima had finished his, cleaned up his plate. So then all of them saw Bhima and then, so they asked him, see the light had gone, so then how did you continue eating? So he said, what is the connection between light and eating? My hand is there. Food is in front of my plate. So then I know where, which item is. So I can just direct my hand to pick up whatever I want and I continue to eat. So then Arjuna felt, if that can happen for eating, then that habit can be inculcated for archery also. So the arrow is there. So I have seen the target. So while it was visible, and then I should be able to shoot, so hit the target. So that's why one day Drona found that Arjuna was practicing in pitch darkness, so total darkness. So then he asked him, he said, this is the reason. So if he can eat, then I can also shoot, so I should be able to shoot. So he used to practice in the night. And then apparently he had also mastered sleep. So which is a great thing. So to be able to live without sleep, so to be able to manage without sleep. So that is one of the reasons he is called Gudakesha. And another reason is Gudakesha, one who has very dense hair. So apparently he also had long hair. So that is another meaning of Gudakesha. And there is one more meaning of Gudakesha, which means one who is the master of the whole universe. So there, derivation is Gudam Akati Vyapnoti Iti Gudakaha. So one who pervades, pervading the whole Brahmanda. Gudam means Brahmanda, whole universe. And one who rules over the, so Gudakayaha Ishaha. So that means one who rules over the whole universe by pervading the whole universe. So within and without, inside out. So that can be only Lord Shiva. So who is the master of the universe. So Gudakesha can also mean Lord Shiva. So there are three meanings, and here it refers to Arjuna. So that could also be the meaning, because in Indian culture we have this custom of naming people after gods. So most of our names, if we see, then it is the name of one deity or some deity or other. So that is Gudakesha, Gudakeshena Bharata. So hey Bharata, here Sanjaya is addressing Dhritarashtra. Bharata here is a reference to Dhritarashtra, hey Bharata, because he is also a descendant of Bharata. All these people were descendants of Bharata. So they could all be called Bharatas. Evam Ukto Hrishikeshaha Gudakeshena Bharata Senayor Ubhayor Madhye Ratham Sthapayitva Rathottamam. So Senayoho Ubhayoho Madhye. So between the two armies. Ratham Sthapayitva, having placed the chariot between the two armies. What kind of chariot? Rathottamam. So the best among chariots. So as I said, so Arjuna's chariot was also given to him by Agni Devata. So while they were cleaning up the Khandava Prastha and making it into Indra Prastha. So it must have been a very well-equipped chariot, state-of-the-art. So state-of-the-art chariot. So that kind of chariot Arjuna had. Because as I said, he was a great archer, so he would also require a chariot that will satisfy his needs. So that's why it's called Rathottama. Then he continues, Bhishma Drona Pramukhataha Sarvesham cha mahikshitam uvacha partha pashyaitam samavetan kuruniti. So Bhishma Drona Pramukhataha. So Bhishma Drona. In front of Bhishma and Drona. Right in front of Bhishma. So Krishna also, so he very strategically and very mischievously placed it right in front of those two people for whom Arjuna had a lot of respect for. So Bhishma. So So Bhishma, as I said, Bhishma means terrible. So one who had taken a terrible vow. What was that terrible vow? The terrible vow was to remain a bachelor throughout his life. Bhishma had taken his vow to satisfy the desire of his father, Shantanu, because he wanted to marry Satyavati. And one of the conditions of Satyavati's father was that the kingdom should go only to the children born to Shantanu and Satyavati. Bhishma was already there. So he was a Gangeya, so Gangaputra. And he was more than capable of becoming the king. So Shantanu was in a dilemma. So he was head over heels in love with this girl. So, but Bhishma also, he could not be unfair to Bhishma. So then he didn't tell Bhishma also. Then his name, original name of Bhishma was Devavrata. So that was the original name of Bhishma. So he could not tell Devavrata. But Devavrata came to know about that. So then he told his father, so I will take this pledge now. I will give you my word that I will not get married. Only if I get married, my children can claim the throne. So I will avoid that and I will not get married. And for a person at the level of Bhishma, it was a terrible pledge to make. It was very difficult, not terrible, very difficult vow to make. So because as a king, so he could enjoy whatever he wanted, purely out of love for his father. So that is also presented as not correct. So too much affection for the father. In fact, that kind of destroyed the whole family. If Bhishma had refused to fight the war, then Duryodhana would not even have had the courage to go to war with the Pandavas. So Bhishma was his primary source of strength. Bhishma and Karna. So Bhishma was overcome with Pitru Moha. So with extreme and unjustified affection for his father. So that is why unjustified affection for one's parents also is not encouraged. So you can, everything, all relationships need to be objective. You can still be respectful, you can still be grateful, but unjustified affection for parents to do whatever they ask you to do. In India, sometimes it happens. So some sons and daughters, so they just think that they have to do whatever their parents tell them to do. Sometimes people get married also just because their parents tell them to get married to someone. So if you are old enough to take your decision, so there is no point in, you can always give your parents the respect they deserve, but it doesn't mean you have to listen to whatever they say. So that is not one's duty at all. So that is unjustified and irrational affection. So sometimes I feel, so one should not listen to parents all the time also. So this may be a sacrilegious or scandalous statement to make here. So, but that's how it is. So you should always, you have your own objective thinking. You should make your decisions and then not trust parents also blindly. So here, this is what Bhishma did. So blind affection for one's father, and then he took that pledge and never, see, he never wanted to transgress that oath that he had taken. So that's why he's called Bhishma. So pledge. He'd taken a terrible, very difficult oath. And Drona. Again, there is a story behind the name Drona. So generally, we know Dronacharya, he was the guru of the Pandavas. Why was he called Drona in the first place? The meaning of the word Drona in Sanskrit, there are quite a few meanings. So meaning of the word Drona is some kind of a container which had a narrow opening. So he was born in that kind of a container. That's the story. He was the son of Bharadwaja. Bharadwaja was a rishi. So Bharadwajasya putraha Bharadwaja. So Drona's another name was Bharadwaja. So the story is Bharadwaja got attracted to an apsara. So all these rishis were also human beings. So they had not overcome all their passions, desires. Like Vishwamitra, we have this story. So he got attracted to Menaka, who was also an apsara. So what it means is that it doesn't mean that they were not great people. They were highly accomplished people and they were great tapasvis. But still, they were not perfect. So we always distinguish between a rishi and a brahmajna. So a rishi was a very accomplished, who had special capacities. And a rishi was a mahatma. But still, a rishi need not, most of the time, rishis were not brahmajnanis. Rishis were not knowers of, they were not people of wisdom. So people who knew the absolute reality. That is why Vishwamitra was a rishi and Vasishtha refused to accept him as a Brahmarishi. And he accepted him as a Brahmarishi only after a long time. Only when he gained a Brahmajnana, he accepted him. So Drona was born to Bharadwaja and an apsara. So that apsara's name was Ghritachi. So that was the name of the apsara. And the story says he was born in a container. So that container, name of Drona is a word used for a container. So we could also infer that this is the first documented evidence of test tube baby. Because why else would it be said that he was born in a container? See, these are inferences or extensions that we can always make. So when someone, otherwise, normally a person is born in a mother's womb. So baby grows in a mother's womb. But here it is specifically mentioned that he was born in a container, Drona. And even the birth of all these Kauravas, the 100 Kauravas, we can always have the question, how can a lady give birth to 100 children? So how is it humanly possible? One doesn't even live that long. Unless it is sets of, triplets, quadruplets, and then pentuplets, and then whatever. So someone delivered 8 babies also at one time. So someone keeps delivering like that every year. So that is, it's just improbable. So she was the mother of 100 people. And the Mahabharata says that she was pregnant. And then she did not deliver for a long time. Gandhari did not deliver for a long time. And by that time, Kunti had delivered. So the Pandavas were born. So then Gandhari, so she got impatient, it seems. And then what Vyasa did was take out the whatever was growing inside Gandhari and then divided it into 100 portions and then put it into jars of ghee. Generally in Ayurveda, all medicines are called ghritam. So Ayurveda, ghritam means it doesn't necessarily have to be only ghee that we eat. So medicine could also be called ghritam. So put it in containers, medicinal containers. So put it into that, and then the babies formed in those containers. Again, some kind of in vitro fertilization. So all these evidences are, so this kind of events have been documented in the Mahabharata, if we care to understand it, look at it like that. So Mahabharata is a treasure house. So when you look at it, when you try to, when you contemplate on it and try to understand the meaning of the words and then the story behind all these people, so then you could also get these inferences, make these inferences. So Drona was born in such a container. So that's why he was called, because he was born in a container, he was called Drona. So Bhishma Drona Pramukhataha Sarvesham cha Mahikshitam Uvacha Partha Pashya Etan Samavetan Kuruniti. So mischievously and very, very strategically. So very strategically Krishna placed the chariot in front of Bhishma and Drona and spoke thus to Arjuna. So then he continues. Still Sanjaya speaking. Tatra pashyat sthitan parthaha vitranatha pitamahan acharyan matulan bhratran putran pautran sakhinstatha. So tatra apashyat. So there he saw. Again past tense, because Sanjaya is just recounting, narrating whatever he is recounting from memory, whatever happened 10 days back. So sthitan parthaha. So partha, here Arjuna. So parthaha apashyat. So he saw. Pitrun atha pitamahan. So Pitrun means all people from his paternal side, from the side of his father. So all these people, the Kauravas, are from his father's side. And Pitamahan, all people who are a couple of generations, at least couple of generations older than him. So Pitrun, Pitamahan, Prapitamahan. So Pitamaha is grandfather. Prapitamaha is one more generation backward. So all those people who are much older to him. And Acharyan, all his teachers. So at least two teachers were there. So one was Drona and the other one was Kripa. So Kripa was their first teacher to the Pandavas and Kauravas. And the second teacher was Drona. So both of them were Acharyas. Again, there is the word Acharya. So there is a very interesting meaning to the word Acharya. Who can be called Acharya? Again, it can be derived from the, etymological, from the root meaning of the word Acharya. So there is a shloka. So which says, Achinoti cha shastrarthan achare sthapayatyapi. Swayam acharate yasmat tasmat acharya uchyate. So achinoti cha shastrarthan. So one who gains knowledge, achinoti, accumulates the meaning of the shastra, the knowledge from the shastra, shastrartha. That is one who has studied properly. And achare sthapayatyapi. And also, one who also guides people in right conduct. So one who also establishes his students or makes sure they have the right kind of attitude and right kind of behavior. So achare sthapayatyapi. So one who also makes sure that they are following the right path. And swayam acharate yasmat. And he is also a person who is of good character. So it doesn't mean that he only teaches other people. So to he educates people on values, character, morality. But he is committed to whatever he teaches. So this person alone is qualified to be called an acharya. So quite a tall ask. So to be called an acharya. So when someone is called an acharya, then he should fulfill all these conditions. So he should have studied properly. Achinoti cha shastrarthan. And then spent. That's why a person is usually identified by where he studied, who he studied from. So in India, first thing you will ask, if a person is qualified in some subject earlier, so the person was always asked, from whom did you study? So now also we do that. So when a person says, I have this degree, then usually we ask, where did you study? So where did you get this degree from? So if he had studied from a reputable school or college, so there is value for the degree that he has got. So that is why Acharya, so he should have also gained the knowledge and he should have the capacity to communicate it. So knowledge, primarily it is in terms of conduct, character, ethics. So that one should follow, or one should teach one's students. And the specific particular knowledge of that discipline, that is also taught. And this person is also of good character. So one who satisfies all these conditions alone is called an acharya. Swayam acharate yasmat tasmat acharya uchyate. So acharyan, so all these people who are really qualified to be called acharya in the true sense of the word. Acharyan matulan. So matulan, all uncles on the mother's side. So mother's brothers. So they are called matula. So matulan bhratrun, all brothers. So all this is setting up for Arjuna's outburst. because these are people who are very closely related to Arjuna. So that is why Sanjaya mentions that he saw all these people. And then slowly he is overcome with compassion, and so he was with affection for these people, and he gets confused whether why am I here in the first place? Why should I be fighting the war? So is it really worth it? So acharyan, matulan, bhratrun, putran, not just his sons. So, but sons of people who are in his generation. So they are also like one's own sons. So sons of one's brothers. So they are also considered as one's own son. So in India, we still do that. So a lot of people say, so my son-in-law. So when some people say my son-in-law, it doesn't mean so the husband of his own daughter. So it could be the husband of his brother's daughter. So it could be the husband of his sister's daughter. So people very commonly use that. So one, the sons, daughters of one's own brothers, sisters. So they are also called sons. That's why it said the putran. So all these people who are in the next generation, who belong to the next generation, and pautran, who are also belonging to two generations behind you. So sons, sons. So Mahabharata, just imagine how many generations were, I mean, standing in that war, starting from Bhishma, who was the oldest. And then Drona, probably one generation after Bhishma. And then immediately before the Pandavas, Drona probably two generations also, we have to calculate. Two generations after Bhishma. So, so many generations of people were standing there in the war. So that's why all these generations are mentioned here. So this verse primarily, it talks about how many generations have assembled there. Acharyan, matulan, no, starting from pitrun, pitrun, pitamahan, acharyan, matulan, bhratrun, putran, pautran, sakhin. So sakhi, people of one's own generation. So peers, so one's own peers. Sakhi shabda, interestingly, even though it ends in E, generally a word that ends in E, so would be feminine gender in Sanskrit. But sakhi shabda is a unique word. Sakhi is a unique word which is masculine, even though it ends in E. So it declines like sakha, sakhayo, sakhayaha. So sakhin means, it doesn't mean all females. So it only means all people who are one's own peers, who belong to the same generation as oneself. So that is sakhi. So sakhin tatha. So all these various generations are pointed out, starting from all the way back. And shvashuram. Suhrudashchaiva senayoho ubhayoho api. So, shvashuram is fathers-in-law. Again, could be fathers-in-law of all the ladies belonging to one's own generation also. Father-in-law of one's own sister is also considered one's own father-in-law. So, fathers-in-law. Or it could be fathers-in-law of one's own brothers also. So all of them. So that is the meaning of shvashura. Shvashura is fathers-in-law. And suhrudaha. Suhrudaha or well-wishers. Sukhrut means one who is your well-wisher. Actually, the etymological meaning of the word Sukhrut is one who has a very good heart. So, Sushtu Hridayam Yasya is a Sukhrut. So, one who has a good heart. One who is very favorably disposed towards you. So, one who is kind to you. That person is called a Sukhrut. So, one level greater than a Mitra. So, Mitra is just a friend. And Sukhrut is beyond a friend. One who is more than a friend. That person is a Sukhrut. So, all well-wishers are also assembled on the other side. This is very, important to note. Because Arjuna is going to be fighting against them. So, he is a well-wisher. He knows that these people are all very kind and very friendly towards him. But in the battlefield, he has to make an effort to kill all of them. So that's why very specifically all these words are given here. So that's why the first chapter. So it is good to understand the context of the Gita. So all such people, just imagine, like if we ourselves, if I put ourselves in Arjuna's position. So, and then even if we are very capable, extremely good in fighting. So these people who have, whom you have respected and whom you have been affectionate to throughout your life. And suddenly you have to fight a war with them and so you have to make an effort to kill all of them. How much more difficult can anything be? So anyone would get confused. So should I really do this? Is it all worth doing? So that's why, this is important in the context of the Bhagavad Gita. Suhridashchaiva senayoho ubhayoho api. Not just in the opposite side, in this side also. So in both the armies. So all people of various generations are there. Then he continues, Sanjaya continues. Tan samikshisa kaunteyaha sarvan bandhunavasthitan kripaya paraya vishtaha vishidannidam abravit. So this is where the transformation starts. So the confusion begins. Tan samikshya. So having seen all these people, saha kaunteyaha. So that son of Kunti. Sarvan bandhun. So all those people who are related, who were related to, means bandha is tying. Bandhu means one whom you are tied to. Relative. So technically in Vedanta, so we say we should not be bound to anyone. So we should not be attached to anyone. But in the normal world, real world, so we have our connections with the people who are supposedly connected to us. So connected to us in some way, related to us in some way. Sometimes these connections also, so they can be a problem. They can be a source of a lot of problems. So that person, in this janma, we are connected to that person. For some reason, because of karma. Otherwise, what is this meaning in this word called relation? I find there is no meaning. You can still be connected to people. I'm not saying you should just, you should not look at their face, you should not meet them, you should not talk to them. But still, other than having been connected to you in some way, for some reason in this Janma, other than that, there is no special reason for one to be extra affectionate towards someone because they happen to be your relative. It is purely one's own creation of the mind. So what relative? Sometimes people who are not supposedly related, so they are closer to you than your own relatives. So just because one was connected, so one belongs to the same family, so there is absolutely no point in having extra attachment towards that person. So that's why this word is also mentioned here. Sarvan bandhun. So sarvan bandhun avasthitan. So related, connected to us in some way. And all the people who are mentioned in the earlier verse. So they were all relatives. So pitran, pitamahan, acharyam, they were not relatives, but still teachers. Matulan, again, relative. Bhratran, brothers, relative. Putran, relative. Poutran, grandchildren, relative. So Arjuna is overcome with sorrow because he has assumed that these people are all related to me and so I should not fight the war. That is what he is going to be overcome with. Then the whole teaching of the Bhagavad Gita is that life is far greater. So one needs to live life for a much bigger purpose than just these insignificant connections that we supposedly get bound to. So we give so much importance. So that is the whole teaching of the Bhagavad Gita, getting rid of ragadvesha. So getting rid of one's likes and dislikes. Even connection, attachment to relatives also. So it is one kind of a like. So that attachment, bond you make. Otherwise, the person who is related to us in a certain way in this Janma, that person may not have even been there in various other Janmas. So we will not be connected to this person in any way, probably in future Janmas also. But in this Janma, for some karmic reason, so one gets connected, that's all. So just be objective about all our relationships. So that is what is pointed out here. It doesn't mean we should not have relationships, we should not respect relationships. Or we should not have a value. So that is not what is meant. But just being objective. Arjuna took it very subjectively. And that is why he got confused. So, Sanjaya says, Kripaya Paraya Avishtaha. Paraya Kripaya means extreme compassion. By unnecessary compassion. So here extreme is unnecessary. By extreme compassion he was overcome. Vishidan idam abravid. So Vishidan is becoming sad. So becoming very sorrowful. So Arjuna said thus, idam abravid. So the hero is going to start talking now. So hero of the Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna is the hero, but still again, so he is also a hero. Arjuna uvacha drishtvemam svajanam Krishna yujutsum samupasthitam sidhanti mama gatrani mukham cha parisushyati vepathushcha sarire me Pro Maharshascha Jayate. So immediate. So when he sees all these people, so then he's completely overcome and he's trembling, he's shivering. All that is described here. So trembling, shivering, and then he's not able to stand on his feet. So his mind is just stopped working. So Arjuna says, Drishtva imam. So having seen Swajanam. So that's the important word. So he says, my own people. Up to now, were they not his own people? Did he not know that he has to fight with all these people? Obviously, he knew, he was well prepared. But once you are put in that situation, you have to face that situation. Imagining that situation is a different thing, and actually facing the situation is something else. So he is put in that situation and he is seeing it. So having seen Swajanam, he says, my own people. So that he considered as his own. So this is what the whole teaching is about. Inquiring into what is this me? Where is this me? So is me restricted to the body mind, or is it something more? So that is what self-inquiry is all about. Because when I say my relatives, who is that me? That me that I have somehow assumed, taken to be myself. So that is defined by my own appearance of the body or my own thinking. So my own background, so my own, the place, the family I belong to, which is all centered on the body mind. So that is what is going to be inquired into. So here Arjuna is confused with who is that me? He has taken this me to be only limited to this body mind that is available at this, at that moment in time. So he does not have a bigger vision. So he does not, he has not expanded himself, even if he has. So he is not convinced about it. So he has not assimilated that. So he says, Drishtva imam Swajanam. So my own people having seen. See, this thing is, it's very good to contemplate on this idea. So what, who are my relatives? Who are my people? When I say my people, my family, what does it really mean? When you inquire into it, there is absolutely no meaning in that. See, this is again against the normal civilized way of thinking. People always they say family is everything. So all that I have is my family. It is extremely important. It is the most important thing to me. But Vedanta completely dismisses all of that. Where is family? Who is the, Vedanta asks the fundamental question. When you say my family, who is that me? Then everything crumbles. So my family, my children, my people, all that has to be inquired into. Yes, sir. Family is also there. We are not saying it is not there. We are not dismissing all the connections that we have. But Vedanta only says that you have to be objective. So don't give only as much importance as is necessary. We're not saying family is not important. So Vedanta is not saying that at all. But Vedanta only says that just be objective. Just inquire into whatever you have you have taken to be true without inquiry. So whatever you have assumed to be true. So that is what we have to do. So it's good for contemplating. So drishtva imam svajanam Krishna yuyutsum samupasthitam. So yuyutsu is yodhum ichchavaha yuyutsu. Ichchuhu. So one who is desirous to fight. So yuyutsum samupasthitam. All those people who are desirous to fight, having assembled, my own people, having seen them. Sidanti mama gatrani mukham cha parishrishyati. So my body is trembling, my body is shivering. So mukham cha parishrishyati. So and my face my mouth is going dry. So being overcome with sorrow. Vepatushcha sharirene. I'm getting horripilations. So my hair is standing on end. So vepatushcha sharirene romaharshascha jayate. So that is romaharsha is my hair is standing. Vepatuhu, my body is trembling. So romaharsha is my hair is standing on its end. So that is I'm just out of my mind. So we'll stop here and we'll continue. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.